It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. The Sacramento Kings play basketball tonight at the Golden One Center. I'm sorry, at Golden One Center against the Golden State Warriors. That game will be on ESPN. Tip-off is set for 7:30. Talking some about the game, talking about the Kings team building right now, though. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program. We're hanging out with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Appreciate everybody listening on the radio on 1320 AM, everybody on the free Odyssey app, and of course, salute to everybody watching on twitch.tv/ESPN1320 and youtube.com/ESPN1320. Whether you're in the Chatty House or not, we appreciate you very much, and a salute to the Chatty House as well, jumping in on the conversation. So, we've been talking about the Kings and their spending and how they built this team out and their options with their little bit of wiggle room with the hard cap at the first apron. I think one of the things this offseason that comes into play a little bit, and I think this honestly it comes into play every offseason, is we can sit here all we want and go, they need a Herb Jones type.
Mm-hmm.
They need a pick your favorite tall, rangy defender who can knock down threes, right?
Mm-hmm.
They need that type of player. The deal is, though, every team that needs that type of player, and those guys aren't just cheap. You're not going to find, like, the Herb Jones of the world are not going to turn into Tyus Jones, where they're a really good, valuable contributor who goes for a vet minimum contract.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are always going to get paid. And so, I have quibbles with the way I might have quibbles with the way the Kings have gone about this a little bit, but I don't have any major issues outside of or with kind of how they've gone about this. Can they trade for Cam Johnson? Like, sure, but is that a franchise altering move? Like, he's okay.
Another $18 million player, I guess.
I think the idea of Cam Johnson is probably better than actual Cam Johnson.
Yeah.
He's a good player, but I don't know that what it would have taken to acquire Cam Johnson to get, like, makes you that much better, right? It's like he's a free agent who you could have had for $5 million a year and they just passed because they didn't want to be in the first apron or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, so that's kind of where and you've mentioned this before. Tyus Jones, the Kings might have called Tyus Jones. Kings might have been like, hey, we'd love to have a really high quality third guard.
Yeah.
And Tyus Jones might have gone, actually, I'm going to go play for the Suns where I'm going to start.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen Cam Johnson's name come up a couple of times here, but I guess Dorian Finney-Smith, like that's moving the needle big time for you.
Okay, when you talk about Tyus Jones, too, like, look, Tyus Jones went into free agency hoping to make probably $15 million a year.
Yeah, I thought he was getting paid.
So early in free agency, he's out there, his agent's out there telling people he wants a four-year 60 or three-year $40 million, whatever it was. I don't know what the dollar amount was. what he didn't think is that the market was going to dry up and he was going to be stuck taking a league minimum deal.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, while he's out there, his agent's out there telling people what dollar amount he wants, whether it's 10 or it's 15 or it's $20 million a year, whatever it is, the Kings don't have that money.
Mm-hmm.
So they went to Jordan McLaughlin and said, hey, league minimum deal, let's lock it in. And he goes, okay. So you signed him in like the first 4 days of free agency, right? Mm-hmm. So now you know what your team is. And then Tyus Jones is out there trying to find his team.
Mm-hmm.
It takes like 3 weeks, 4 weeks for Tyus Jones to finally get a job.
Crazy.
Which is, it is crazy, but it's because the money dried up and then he had to go somewhere where he was going to make substantially less money mm-hmm. in order to try to rebuild his value on a great team, a potentially great team.
Crazy.
And have a starting job. So, like, all of these things are circumstantial. They're it doesn't always work out when you want something to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, when you walk into free agency, you should have a list of players that you would like to talk to. And if some of those players, you have to mark off your list because they make their demands are way too high, then that's what you have to do.
Yeah.
So, and then at some point, if you have swung and missed on a couple of other deals, and you're looking at a guy who averaged 24 points, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds last year, and it doesn't matter how old he is, he still is a big-time ball player.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to make that move, and you have to make that move even if it hard caps you. Yep. And then, again, if you have to make another move down the road, just because you made the DeMar DeRozan deal does not mean that you can't go out and make another deal down the road.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be creative. And lastly, I would say this, too. We talk about like these types of players that the Kings need. They are finally now to a point where you might look at a more of a specialist, a 3-and-D specialist, than a versatile player, right? For one of your reserve positions. So Trey Lyles has had a certain degree of value to them as like a jack of all trades power forward slash center.
Yeah.
Right? But there could come a point where the other players around Trey Lyles have gotten so good that you need more specialized players. And that's just like the dynamics of team building and how things change, how 1 year a guy can have a huge role and the next year he might not have the same role and he's still the same player, but you need someone who brings something different because the other players around him are different.
Yeah.
And so I just think it's a matter of like, it's always a moving target. And you're always trying to assemble something on the fly and hope that you did it right and then try to make adjustments as you go. And sometimes you can't make the adjustments that you want to make.
Yeah. One of the things the Kings are going to have to do, you mentioned the draft. And this is one of the guys I'm watching tonight as we shift gears a little bit back to the Kings preseason opener against Golden State at Golden One Center tonight. A guy like Isaiah Crawford is the exact type of player to me that you want to bring in. Where he's 6'6". He's listed at 6'6", 220.
Yep.
He played 5 years of college basketball. Shot 39.3% from three in his career on 2.8 attempts a game. Over the last 3 years, he was... numbers are loading. He was at 72.8% from the free throw line. And was the Conference USA Defensive Player of the Year last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of player to me, and that's where like last year when they were bringing in all these centers, it's like bring in players like this. Go get Isaac Jones, same kind of deal. He doesn't shoot it. He's more of a forward. He's 6'9" type of guy, but good athlete. Averaged 1.1 blocks a game at Idaho and then Washington State the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Averaged 17.2 points over those 2 years. Like that's the kind of he can block shots and maybe score a little bit. Like those are the kind of guys that maybe they work out, maybe they don't. But if they work out, the Keon Ellis's of the world, that helps you fill in the margins of your roster without having to worry about going out and spending, even if it's $5, $6 million.
Yep.
And that's what those two players specifically are guys I'm keeping a close eye on tonight.
Well, I wanted to keep a close eye on those guys, but also the adult version of that is Terry Taylor.
Good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, there is a need to find that type of player and to have them be on a budget. Right. So league minimum deals, and you have to remember league minimum deals, any player who's past their second year in the league, if you sign a guy to a league minimum deal, his money only counts as a second year player. So like Alex Len at $3.6 million bucks, mm-hmm. cap wise, he only counts like $2.2 million. So it's a way of keeping veterans in the league and not just going to young players every single time. So for a guy like, you know, again, playing on a two-way contract, like Isaiah Crawford is, there's a value in that, right? And as a team, you need to continuously look and search for these guys. And it's something that I think, again, the Houston Rockets used to do. They used to be one of the best at this, is finding guys like this.
Yes.
And it's something that Monty kind of grew up in the league doing. And, you know, if you can continuously have a stockpile of young players who are developing and coming up on through your system, then you can afford to have the high-end players.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't, for every Domantas Sabonis you have, for every De'Aaron Fox you have, you need a Keon Ellis salary. It's just kind of the way it works. Mm-hmm. Like, you only have so much money to spend. Sometimes you need two of those guys for every one of the big guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they've got to be like super cautious with how they're building, but also understand that like a lot of these guys, they don't work out. And you're trying things, sure. You're looking for 6'5" guy with a 7-foot wingspan.
That'd be great.
And you hope that he develops into, you know, another Keon Ellis or another Bruce Brown, or, you know, these types of players that are around the league that like have a tremendous amount of value to winning.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why you got to have like four of them and hope that two of them work out. And again, look at what the Kings have done. They have Colby Jones. They have Mason Jones. They have Terry Taylor. They have Isaiah Crawford. Mm-hmm. Like, they're all about the same. You're trying to pick and choose and see which one rises to the top.
I have a question as we go deep dive on the Kings roster here. Are you more intrigued by Isaiah Crawford or Terry Taylor? A little bit different body types, but same style of player. Crawford shoots it better for sure, but are you more intrigued by a player like Taylor, who's been in the league for a few years? Or a player like Crawford, who is a total unknown at the NBA level?
I want both. No, I mean, but...
Is that what I asked?
But hear me out. I want one of those guys on a two-way contract that's an undrafted guy that might develop into something. And then I want the other guy because he knows how to play the game today. And I can put him out there for 10 minutes or 12 minutes in a game, mm-hmm. and know that he's a veteran. He can defend three positions and he might be able to give me something. And he's got an adult body. He's got an adult game. Mm-hmm. He knows who he is as a player. So I want that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But then I want the other on the two-way. So when that guy is no longer available, when he either his skill diminish or he wants too much money or he gets an offer somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
I've got the other guy ready to go. And that's what we're talking about. You have to build a system where you're churning out these types of players. And it's something that, again, I've said this for years. The G League, I believe, is totally mismanaged in this mm-hmm. way. They take flyers on super athletes, guys that have like that score 25 points a game in college, and then they throw them in the G League and they try to turn them into a role player at the NBA level. It never works out.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys think that they're ballers, and they've been ballers their whole life. They can go to, you know, Europe and go score 25 points a game. They can go to China and, you know, score 35 points a game, whatever. Mm-hmm. But in order to get them to fit into a role at an NBA team, you need to be a 3-and-D guy, or you need to be a hustle big.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have a specific skill set and a refined game, and then you also have to have a personality that will allow you to go to the parent club and just do what you're being asked to do.
Sure.
Not feel like every game is an audition for you to go out there and be a superstar and be the next Kobe Bryant. Because that's what so many of these young guys, they come into the league and that's who they think they're going to be. They're going to be the next big thing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them, they aren't, and they never find a way to be a role player.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're out of the league. And then you have role players who, you know, go undrafted. A guy like Garrett Temple just keeps playing. Because
is he still on a roster?
Yeah, he's well. I think he's
no chance.
I think he's on the Raptors.
No chance.
They signed him during the offseason.
Absolutely no way that's real.
Training camp roster, yes. Yeah, but they just keep playing because
oh my God, that is real.
They're good. They're good veteran people. They're good leaders. They're good with young players. They don't mind putting their arm around somebody and helping them become a pro. But also, they're your NBA self-made men who know what it takes to stick in the league and can, if the right kid is listening at the right time, he'll understand that that's his pathway to being a player, is to listen to a guy like Garrett Temple, to try to become a Garrett Temple, not try to become, you know, again, a star level player, because the chance of you becoming a star level player from the G League or from being undrafted or being a second round pick is so slim.
Sure.
The chance of you being in the league for 5 years or 8 years, if you do it right and you listen and you become a Keon Ellis, much better chance. There's just way more of those guys, those positions available than there are of the superstar positions.
Garrett Temple making $3.3 million with the Raptors this year. Good for him.
Yeah.
Love that for our guy. I'm just personally, I fully understand what you're saying from a team building standpoint. I'm so much more interested in watching Isaiah Crawford tonight.
Yeah.
I really, really want to see it. And again, we talk about, like, with the Kings starters, if De'Aaron goes 0 for 8, it's not like, oh my God, he can't play with DeMar DeRozan. Like, that's not going to be the takeaway, right? But if a player like Isaiah Crawford or Isaac Jones or, yep, or pick your favorite, Colby Jones, Mason Jones, whoever, goes out and plays really, really well,
mm-hmm,
all of a sudden that offers a little bit of insight into, oh, this is what he looks like against, like, potential NBA players.
Yeah.
And it's not, again, it's not a, oh my God, you got to get this guy on a real contract and start him. But it is so much better than if they go out there and, who was the guy, was it the Hornets center at the Cal Classic?
Oh.
I think it was the center that played for the Hornets, and we were watching him like, oh, this guy's not it. Like, this is just not an NBA player.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
It's typically Moses Brown. Like,
in the NBA, though.
But he's in the NBA, but every time I watch him, I'm like, what is happening here?
Yeah, he's the guy that you always say it's about, are you a seven-footer who plays basketball, yeah, or do you play basketball and just happen to be 7 feet?
Yeah, are you a tall guy that plays basketball or a basketball player who happens to be tall?
Yeah, that.
Yeah, he's a tall player who plays basketball. Yeah, that's a Jerryism.
That's
yeah.
So good.
What I do want to see, like, we've heard Isaac Jones is, like, the talk of camp all of a sudden.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it didn't happen until, like, Saturday, where all of a sudden, mm-hmm, what happened was they go to the scrimmage on Saturday, and the Kings very much, like, their modus operandi, their focus, their point of emphasis this year is to crash the offensive glass. And mm-hmm, they believe that the advanced statistics, and this is something that Monty has pushed, but also that Mike has learned from watching, like, the New Zealand national team.
Oh, of course.
They have a system for crashing the glass on the offensive side that if you don't get it, if you don't get the rebound, what you've done is you've created, like, a bottleneck at the back end of the court so your defense can get back and set up.
Mm.
So it's not like you're going to get beat in transition basketball all the time because you're trying to get offensive rebounds. If you're getting deflections or your guy is on the wrong side of a player, but that guy gets the rebound, now his back, mm-hmm, is facing the opposite basket and you have a body between him and, mm-hmm, your basket. So you should be able to slow down everything. So anyway, Isaac Jones comes out. He had 11 opportunities. They tracked everything. They said there's 11 opportunities for him to go try for an offensive rebound. And he actually crashed on all 11 opportunities. Now, whether he got the ball, mm-hmm, or not doesn't matter as much as it is.
It's fitting into the system.
Is he willing to do what they're asking, right?
Yeah.
Not only that, grabs a rebound, kicks it out, flies back to the corner, ball moves around, finds him again. He buries a corner three. He hits 5 or 6 three-point shots in the scrimmage on Saturday. And the Kings are like, okay, wait a sec. And Kings fans everywhere are asking this exact, please, could you just sign a 6'8" guy with a 7'3" wingspan? They did. It's
here he is.
It's Isaac Jones. Now, yeah, whether he develops or not, we don't know.
Yeah, one training camp practice does not an all-star make.
No, and not a rotational player, and maybe not even an NBA player.
Yeah, sure.
But his story is cool, getting to the league. He's an older prospect. He's like 24. He didn't take up basketball until way later. He ends up going to like a junior college because one of his buddies tried out for the junior league, the junior college, and they said, hey, if you can find us a guy who's 6'8", we'll give you a shot. But you got to bring someone else with you. And he goes and he gets his buddy and says, hey, I need you to come play with me because they said that like we might make the team. And he's like, okay.
At Wenatchee?
Yeah. So he goes, and next thing you know, he's on the cusp of being an NBA player, on the cusp of playing in a preseason game.
Crazy.
And so, yeah, these stories like this, they happen, but we don't know what it's going to be. And like, we're not putting a whole bunch of pressure as far as like, as someone in the media, I'm like, I'm not writing this expansive piece on how Isaac Jones is going to save the Sacramento Kings. That's not fair.
Yeah.
So, but hey, like, this is what you should be doing if you're a franchise. You got a bunch of high-paid players. You need to go find guys like this that maybe work themselves into the league, maybe become the next Naz Reid, maybe become a player like that where you're like, hey, look, we found one too. You know, like Keon Ellis, he got compared by DeMar DeRozan to Alex Caruso.
Sure.
The other guy he gets compared to is Herb Jones because they played together in college.
Yeah.
But the Kings needed a Herb Jones so bad, and they may have stumbled upon him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're looking at a guy who might be starting for the next 3 years at a league minimum contract, playing alongside a bunch of guys who make 20-something, 30-something, 40-something million dollars a year.
I know it's a star-driven league, and the Kings are going to go as far as De'Aaron Fox and DeMontis Sabonis and DeMar DeRozan take them. Like, no doubt. But at the same time, imagine this Kings roster and how we'd feel about it. This exact same team. But let's plug in a 6'8" Keon Ellis and another 6'6" Keon Ellis.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, all of a sudden you look down the bench and you're like, man, like this is there's a lot of really effective players here.
Yep.
Or is it, let's say the maximized version of Isaac Jones is let's just say he becomes the 6'8" Keon Ellis. It's like all of a sudden you look down and you're going, man, he can play some four, might be able to sneak some small ball 5 minutes in. He's getting knocked down a three, and you just feel so much better about all the different things you can do with their lineups. And that's what that's kind of what we talked about going into this offseason, was can you find that player?
Yeah.
And that's why this preseason game tonight, okay, the DeMar DeRozan stuff is super exciting, and what do the starters look like? Obviously, you know, everybody would be dialed into that.
Yep.
But, man, if you go get a couple of good preseason performances, now, it can't be one game. You got to be good through the whole preseason. But if one of those guys, whether it's Terry Taylor, Isaiah Crawford, or Isaac Jones, turns into this, oh, this could be a regular rotation player, you start to feel a lot better.
No, I
certainly different.
I totally agree. And I would add this too. The Kings with DeMar DeRozan look, and with Malik Monk back, and with De'Aaron Fox maximized at his who he is, and DeMontis Sabonis, and with the player that Keegan Murray is becoming, they can all of a sudden look at a Keon Ellis with different eyes.
Yeah.
And they now look at Kevin Huerter maybe with different eyes as well.
Yeah, good point.
Like there's a point where a Keon Ellis can fit in this system, but the other four guys have to be good enough for that, right? And the same thing could go for an Isaac Jones. Like there could come a moment where the Kings no longer need a all-around guy like Trey Lyles, and Trey Lyles on a one-year, $8 million contract for this year. And you can see a world in which maybe one of these other guys can do what he does, but do it differently. You know, like be able to be a 3-and-D stretch four, and that's sort of who Trey Lyles is. But Trey Lyles is also like a more well-rounded NBA player, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, hey, get rid of Trey Lyles. What I'm saying is that like there comes a point where you can't afford an $8 million player when you have a $2 million player that can do some of the same things.
Yeah.
When you have a De'Aaron Fox that's also making $60 million a year.
Yeah, it's just team building. It's the reality of the way the cap rules work.
Exactly, but also it's a reality if the other players around them, they have to be good enough to do it.
Yeah.
Like I would even make the argument the last 3 years, the Kings have tried so many different players that are, you know, whether it's KZ Akpala or who is the veteran that they had that was before KZ Akpala that was KZ Akpala, Mo Harkless, or even last year, Kessler Edwards. Like those guys.
Jakarr Sampson, obviously.
Yeah. So, but the key is that those players struggle because partially because there are limitations as players, but also because the players around them aren't good enough to support what they bring to the table.
Yeah, it puts too much on their plate.
Yeah, so you're hoping that your team can get good enough where, you know, a Jalen McDaniels can play solid minutes because four other guys around him can drop 30 at any moment.
Yeah.
And that's again, it's how good teams are able to use players like this, where bad teams, you get a couple of these guys that, you know, a Keon Ellis, and maybe they don't ever get on the court in a real situation, when the team is worse, because you need more from them because the team's not good enough. You need him to score 14 points a game,
or
toast.
Right.
It's like, the fact is, the Kings can afford to have a guy averaging 7 or 8 points a game at their starting shooting guard spot this year.
There's a diminishing returns aspect to it. If you need Keon Ellis to be your starting point guard, and he's going to play 38 minutes a night, he's going to be a lot worse player than the Keon Ellis who's a starting shooting guard alongside De'Aaron Fox and DeMar DeRozan and Keegan Murray and Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah.
Like, the role's just different.
Yeah, and I think for a long time, the Kings have had a lot of players miscast because they aren't good enough. And because...
A thousand percent.
Or because 1,000%. They're too young, or whatever it might be. They have holes in their roster because, again, as a whole, they're not good enough. Like, they might have individual players that are good enough, but until you get enough of those really good players, it's really tough for the other guys to find their roles.
The Chatty House, holding your feet to the fire. Why do you hate Trey Lyles?
I love Trey Lyles. Trey Lyles is my guy. Yeah, but I mean, everyone has
it is that your point is well taken, that sometimes as your roster gets more expensive, you have to start trimming on the margins.
Well, yeah, and sometimes as your roster gets more, it gets better, you need a different type of player than what you currently need, or what you needed last year, or what you needed the year before. And again, I think Trey Lyles is like a very, very high level rotational NBA player.
Really good player.
Yeah.
Yep, for sure. Okay, we'll keep talking preseason. Got a couple NFL things, but we got more preseason stuff to get to. And the handoff, I believe it's a Kenny Caraway day. Casey will be in here in about 20 minutes. On the Insiders, on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Kings basketball back tonight. Check it out on ESPN at 7:30 as the Kings host the Golden State Warriors at Golden 1 Center. If you're going out there, hit us up on the Oak Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Markelle Fultz came up during the break, and you were going to say something as we were coming back. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, like, this is what we're talking about here. Like, Markelle Fultz was the number one pick in the 2017 NBA draft, right? Lonzo Ball went 2, Jason Tatum went 3, Josh Jackson went number 4, and De'Aaron Fox went 5, right? He's currently not on a roster. He's 26 years old, but this is, it's kind of what we're talking about. There's a point where a player isn't good enough as a player that that he is, the mold of the player that he is, and he has no way to become the player that he needs to be to stay in the league. And so what I mean by that is, like, last year for the Orlando Magic, first of all, Markel Fultz has never been able to stay on the court. He's played 234 games as a pro. And you can look at De'Aaron Fox, but he's at 500 games.
How many did Markel Fultz play last year?
Last year he played 43 games, including 18 starts. He averaged 7.8 points. He shot 22.2% from three. Like, the idea of Markel Fultz, like, realized is probably D'Angelo Russell. But the fact is, he's never been that good, and he's never found his way to be that player. And the problem that he has is that he can't really be Jordan McLaughlin. You know, Jordan McLaughlin comes in, shoots 45% from three, and plays defense, and knows his role.
Yes.
And so for a team like Sacramento, there's a lot more value in having Jordan McLaughlin than having a player like Markel Fultz. And if I'm out on the blacktop and I'm picking a team, I might choose to have, you know, Markel Fultz on my team way before I would have Jordan McLaughlin on my team, because he's a bucket and all these things, right? But the fact is, at the NBA level, a number one pick who busts and who's trying to still be that player who he was drafted as, he doesn't nearly have the value as a guy who understands his role, as a guy like Keon Ellis, who walks in and says, I will play defense and I will hit open threes and I'm not going to do anything stupid. That's it. And so, like, it's tough for a guy like Markel because, again, he's only 26 years old. But it's the reality of the game, man. Like, how many players are out of the NBA within their first 3 or 4 years because they never figure out how to be a role player when they're no longer going to be a star-level player?
Sure.
So,
and what I don't know. It's not. I don't want this to come across like somebody was in the like people were clamoring for Markel Fultz.
No,
but that's the exact type of Markel Fultz, Robert Covington, and Reggie Bullock were the three players that just kind of randomly came up. Jay Crowder also came up. The common theme with all these players is we talk about team building. None of those dudes are changing are dramatically altering the trajectory of the season for the Kings. It's not at this point. Could they help a little? Like, yeah, for sure. Jay Crowder, 100%, easy to see the way he fits. Robert Covington, easy to see the way he fits. But, like, it's not. I'm not on pins and needles going, man, if they don't sign one of these guys, oh. Nah, it's just, they're just there. They're just free agents.
No, they are. And it,
I don't know.
They were hot ticket items. They would have already been signed somewhere. And maybe they're waiting for the right situation.
Sure.
Maybe they're waiting for some of the more adult guys here, some of the older, the gray hairs. Maybe they're looking at, like, hey, let's get 20, 25 games into the season and I can be a player who's ready to play and can step in and help a team.
Sure.
I'm going to work. I'm going to save my body and not like go out and get beat up. But I know that I'll have a defined role. That's the problem, though. Like, again, you don't take the number one overall pick in a guy like Markel Fultz and try to turn him into something that he's not down the road. Like, I've always talked about, Dante Green is always the example. Everyone loved Dante Green. They thought Dante Green could average 20 a game. The problem is that if Dante Green can't average 20 a game, the idea was, oh, well, we'll just make him into like a long 3-and-D stretch four.
Nope.
And it's like, hey, that's never going to be who he is.
Nope.
And so, like, this idea that you can convert players into something different, it's just not realistic.
Sometimes you can do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes, for sure. There are players, I know I bring this up every single time we talk about it, but I'm going to do it again. Austin Rivers talks about this all the time on his podcast. Know your role, change your life.
Yep.
That's what he always says. And he went through that. Mm-hmm. Like, the Austin Rivers that got, what was he, 8th overall?
10.
10 overall?
I believe.
Who was a top 10 pick in the draft because of what he did as a scorer. By the end of his career was, okay, he's going to shoot threes a little bit, but he's just going to play his ass off on defense.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he had to do to stick in the league. And so it can happen, but to your point, it's not like you can just say, hey, well, so we're going to take a flyer on this guy. as a potential 3-and-D wing. But if not, we're going to play him with a small ball 5 and everything will be good. Or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So no, I think that's just not a realistic way to go about it.
It's truly the value of Keon Ellis. It's going out and finding a guy who this is exactly who he's always been. You're not asking him to do more. You're not asking him to do less. You're asking mm-hmm. him to play defense, be a good teammate, hit open shots.
Yes.
Get better as a three-point shooter. We'll help you with that. We want you to get stronger as a player so you can hold up against bigger guards, all that stuff. But don't lose who you are. Be who you are, because what you are is so valuable.
Is it, I don't mean to jump away from this, but you said something that caught my ear there. Is the Kings being undersized a problem this year?
No, because I don't think Keon Ellis is undersized.
But, I mean, you're talking about Keon Ellis bulking up to hang with bigger guards. We've got Keegan Murray bulking up, and can he guard fours? Can DeMar DeRozan guard fours? And you got Mike Brown talking about his old man strength. I just, that feels like it's come up a lot recently.
Well, no, I mean, to be perfectly honest, yes, the Kings are undersized. I mean, their center is 6'10" with short arms, and their power forward is a guy who played small forward last year and who chased guards all around on the defensive end last year. Their small forward is 6'5", 6'6", mm-hmm. and 35 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But Keon Ellis is, I don't know what he's listed at, but I'm going to guess he's gained 15 pounds since he came in the league, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that he's starting to fill out.
Yeah.
His little chicken legs are getting bigger. He hasn't missed leg day. He's a dude who is understanding what it's going to take to be in the league.
Yeah.
And when it's all said and done, his body is going to look more like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope than it does like mm-hmm. young De'Aaron Fox or like it than Malik Monk.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, that's what you're trying to build up players and to like, that's part of the maturation process of a player. When they're 25, 26 years old, they are who they are. You're trying to maintain. That's at least the goal mm-hmm. is that they've become like full grown men. They've sort of gone through the second maturity stage of a person's life. And then you're just trying to maintain and build on who they are and have them mm-hmm. be consistent.
Yeah.
But as a young player, yeah, man, it's tough. Like especially like we talked about with Keegan, like get bigger, get smaller, you know, like they just keep like
create more, stand in the corner. Like
yeah.
What?
Yeah, exactly. So, and I think as a personality, he's much more capable of taking all of that and processing it as opposed to someone who's fighting it the whole time. Like, oh, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
I want to be this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So interesting,
man. Just a fascinating year. That's the other reason, though, that like crashing the glass is going to matter a lot too.
Oh yeah.
Size does have an impact on rebounding. Height, just like
athleticism.
But that's right, and that's just it. Is if you get bodies in the paint and you're boxing people out and you're using athleticism. Keegan's 6'8". Like Keegan should be a good rebounder, and I think he is.
Yeah. He averaged over 8 a game in college.
Yeah. So that's what I don't know.
I think it's interesting too. We talked about, I talked about this with Mike mm-hmm. Brown yesterday, and you know, he said like, look, Trey Lyles might not be the most athletic guy that we have, right? But he was our best crasher last year.
Yeah, for sure.
Because he's broad shouldered. He mm-hmm. goes, he knows how to hunt a rebound, mm-hmm. right? He's like, you have to look at NBA players and say, yeah, do we have the length and athleticism of a Minnesota Timberwolves? He's like, no.
Mm-mm.
He's like, but NBA players, the gap between athleticism is like from here to here.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, now, he looked at me and he said, if you and I were comparing us to NBA players, we're down here.
Right.
And they're up here.
Right.
And they're all in this little grouping.
Yeah.
For us to figure out how to be up here is impossible.
Right.
He's like, but the NBA player, it's all within like a very small margin of error.
There's
basically
like a margin of effort.
Yeah.
Ostensibly, yeah.
Exactly. And he's like, yeah, like, is there 7'3", is there the outlier, the mm-hmm. Victor Wembanyama? Yeah, there's an outlier.
Yeah.
But, like, the average NBA player, probably between 6'5" and 6'8", with a, you know, plus 6-inch height to wingspan ratio, like, they're all around the same. Like, their verts are between, like, 30 inches and 42 inches. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, there are guys that can jump higher. There are guys that can do more, but they're also guys that are better at leveraging their bodies. And yeah.
if you and Mike Brown did an NBA combine, who do you think is winning? Who do you think is?
Oh, with my back, like there's no question. Like Mike Brown's going. Plus, Mike's bigger than, like, he's taller than he looks.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think Mike is like 6'2", 6'3".
Deceptively tall because he's in Vans.
Yeah.
So he doesn't get the shoe boost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say 6'2", 6'3", and
we've seen the video. Mike can still move a little.
He's a big dude.
Mike can still move.
Yeah.
I think I agree with you. I'd love to see it, though.
Oh, I would sit there and battle.
Yeah. It's like that video. Remember that video of Stan Van Gundy that went viral several years ago now?
Oh, playing basketball.
Where he's like crossing over and does a crossover and like a spin. It's like Stan Van's got that in his bag?
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, you've seen the Popovich videos, right?
No.
Popovich going to the rack and like little fallaway jumpers. And you're like, he's 75, 76.
Current Greg Popovich?
Yes. Yeah, you can find Popovich.
It's so wild when you're good at basketball how you just never lose it.
Well, yeah, you got the old man game, but
yeah, right. No, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, Popovich played, you know, in the league.
Yeah, like, no.
Well,
I'm not insulting the guy. I'm saying it's crazy that when you're good at basketball, you're just good at basketball for the rest of your life.
No, totally.
Like Steve Kerr's out here having shooting contests with Steph Curry. Like what? Why, dude? You're 70. Not 70, he's like 55 or whatever he is. 60?
Yeah, 60. Around 60. Yeah, we had that like...
It's just like if Steve Kerr went out to the free throw line right now, it'd just be cash.
Yeah, we had that situation years ago at in Santa Barbara where the Kings were having training camp and they had DeMarcus Cousins, Jimmer Fredette, and Chris Mullin have a three-point shootout. And Chris Mullin busted them. Crushed them. He hit like 15 straight.
Ridiculous.
Like when you're a bucket, you're a bucket.
Kenny Caraway.
Yeah.
The jumper's still there. He's still got it.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't go away.
Yeah, he still got the jumper. I forgot to turn on that computer today. My bad.
That's okay. I meant to remind you at the break, and then I got into
we had a live read.
Yeah, no, we did. Kenny Caraway, the handoff coming up. We're gonna push all the... Here, your mic is up and on if you would like to talk to the people while you're getting logged in there. We're pushing football stuff to tomorrow.
I was just going
to
say, you know, hey, you're right. Jumper ain't never going away.
Especially because you work on it.
In a walker.
Yeah, man. I knew you could play, right? Because you can tell. Like, there are people who talk about how they can play, and then there are people, if you played even in college, like a little bit, like you can play.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be the best at any gym you walk into.
I played in like a rec league in Arizona. Our office had a team. And one of the guys in our office played a little bit at Point Loma Nazarene University.
Well, I've been there.
First of all, peep their baseball field. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
It's like on a cliff over the ocean.
Yeah.
It is one of the sickest baseball fields in America.
I rappelled off the science building there one night in the middle of the night. I don't know how, but yeah. I did.
Sure.
I did do that.
But so he played like minimal minutes at PLNU. And was going for 35 a night in this rec league, right? So you know, like I know Kenny played in college, mm-hmm. So it's like no, Kenny can hoop. When we went out to field day, and afterwards you were shooting around, It was just like I already knew, like I had no doubt in my mind that you could play. I bet if you shot 30 shots while I was standing there, I bet you hit 28 of them.
Yeah,
it's just a bucket.
Yeah, it's just how,
like,
it,
man, I knew you could shoot, but I still be. Like that's
so you know the flip side, RIP to all
RIP
that.
Flip side.
Yeah, RIP. Flip side, like I'm really good, right? I'm really good at basketball.
Yes.
The flip side to that is the way I look at NBA players. They are unbelievably good at basketball. Like I'm really good. I'm like, yo, I'm good. I can hoop. I'll beat probably anybody that's listening or watching to this show right now.
Yes.
NBA players might dog me out. Yeah. Like that's how good they are. Yeah. And that's just like that's like your Terry Taylors, right? Then you get into like your Kyries and your Stephs and
oh
I'm just
God.
Like
oh yeah.
I've always said
this is unreal.
I just want to stand there just as a cone, like not trying to actually defend while like De'Aaron Fox crosses up and goes by me. Like, I just want to know what that speed is like. Because, like, I know Kenny is cooking my ass if I'm trying to guard Kenny. I can't imagine what a guy like De'Aaron Fox, the fastest guy in the NB freaking A,
come on, man.
Is the pace that he's moving at.
And that's why I'm like, you know, it's just a pet peeve of mine. Like, I know it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I think you clarify it whenever you say something. You're like, this guy sucks. He's like, in the NBA terms, not
yes.
in real life.
Right.
But it's like, nah, like, think of the worst player you can think of, right? They're so good at basketball.
Yes.
They're so good. I saw this one video, and it's out there. You can YouTube it, and it's not like just him. But there was, like, Dwight Howard after mm-hmm. a game one time was getting shots up and was shooting threes and shot like 12 in a row and didn't miss.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just catching, you just.
Willie Cauley-Stein used to knock down threes all the time.
Like, yo.
We watched Scalabi Sierra hit like 12 straight the other day.
The skill level
crazy.
Is just, it's insane.
Which is so bizarre to me when I see things like, I'll never forget Mike Bibby in the one of the finals that the Heat were in, and he was on the team and he could not make a shot. Like, they were leaving him mm-hmm. wide open, mm-hmm. mid-range, shots he had made his entire life,
mm-hmm.
and he couldn't make it. And I just like how? Like, because I know if we go into the practice facility right now, you're going to make
mm-hmm.
99 out of 100.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving you the same wide open shot. And at this point in your career, like, you can't knock it. It's just, it's bizarre.
Yeah.
It's bizarre sometimes.
Yeah.
Those guys are so good.
D'Lo and Casey coming up next here on ESPN 1320. What you watching for tonight? With the Kings preseason opener.
I mean, like everybody, I'm trying to see DeRozan. I want to see DeRozan in that Kings uniform, wearing that number 10. I want to see him hit his midi. You know what I mean? I just want to see DeRozan, man.
That first time he puts the shoulder into the defender a couple times and then turns around and hits that little fadeaway from 15.
Come on, man. I'm a pop, man.
It's so funny. We've been having this conversation basically all day about the Kings team building. And how, like, the guys down the bench and who can be effective for this team maybe this year mm-hmm. or certainly over the next couple of years as the top end of the roster gets a little more expensive, and who can you bring in? Who's the 6'8" Keon Ellis is mm-hmm. kind of the, and that's why tonight matters is like,
yeah.
can Isaiah Crawford play? Can Isaac Jones play? What does Terry Taylor look like? And all this stuff. But like, bottom line is, like, we're all waiting to see number 10.
We just want to see number 10 out there, man. Want to see what it's looking like. DeMar DeRozan, man, he's the Sacramento King. Let's go. I can't wait, man. I want to see that. But I do want to see, like, some of the stuff you just talked about. I want to see what Terry Taylor looks like. You know, James, I think you had talked about, you came here one of the days and you talked about Isaiah Crawford. No.
Isaac Jones.
That's
yeah.
And you talked about how he had kind of, stood out a little bit in training camp. So.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see how that transfers. I wish Devin Carter was playing. I'd love to see him out there. After seeing DeRozan for a little bit, then I do want to tap in and see some of those guys who might be the 11th, 12th, 13th yeah. guy on the roster and see
yeah.
what they're looking like. See if somebody can surprise. It's one thing that Monty kind of has done a little bit, just a little bit. We look at Keon Ellis and trying to think if there's anybody else right now. I don't know. But he has kind of, it feels like he's found guys like that. He's found guys like Terry Taylor, like, oh, he's a solid little player. You know what I mean? Kessler Edwards did a little bit. Trey Lyles. We like Kobe Jones, last year. So I wonder if one of those guys.
We still like Kobe Jones.
We do. Well, Kobe got to step his game up, though.
Yeah, he does.
Kobe got to step
his
game up.
We're confident. We're confident here at the Kobe Jones fan club. Before we get out of here, I got to ask you about your Padres. That's just big time. It's not. I was saying this earlier. I love the Giants Dodgers rivalry very much.
Yes.
Because like the genuine joy that Giants fans are getting right now out of this, because the Dodgers aren't just losing. They're not just, hey, they lost 10-2, they lost 6-5. Hey, what are you going to do? Another Dodgers postseason choke job. They're sending videos to the league.
Oh,
you got Dave Roberts talking about there was intent. And it's unsettling. You've got Max Muncy last night saying like, oh yeah, they get under our skin.
The Dodgers, it's so ridiculous. They're worried about everything but winning the game.
That's it.
They're worried about everything but beating the Padres.
Yep.
Padres got their number.
Padres,
you can tell they're in their head.
Got their mind, everything. And it's crazy because the Padres are an NL West team. I'm not crazy about the NL West teams, but I like the Padres. And I like Fernando Tatis.
Mm. Yo.
I got a take later on in the show. I'll ask you guys real quick. You can stew on it.
We got 30 seconds.
Tatis is putting his name back up there as one of the superstars.
Yes.
And maybe the superstar in the game. I know what Otani did and everything. Tatis got the flair. He's got the charisma.
Yeah.
Tatis may be the guy in baseball like he was 2 years ago.
Might be. Did you see Ken Rosenthal called him a dancing peacock? And then after the game, he put on his Instagram story.
Yeah, and they didn't let Ken in the locker room, they said.
Oh, man, that's so good.
They should have let us in the locker room. Don't do that.
D'Lo and KC coming up next. I'm sure plenty
KC
of...
KC and friends today. Well, it's D'Lo and KC. KC and friends today. D'Lo in the building today.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a little under the weather, but he promised us he wouldn't die on if he wasn't on air. So he's still alive, everybody.
Oh, thank God. Okay, well, KC and friends talking to, I'm sure, a lot of Kings.
A lot of Kings.
Can't wait.
A lot of Kings.
All right, that's coming up next on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Leader. James and I are done for today. We'll be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Until then, drink water, be nice, people. Bye.
Tune in. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.